Welcome back to the Virtual Business Advisory Program. Members, it's great to be with you today, wherever you're joining us from. Today I've got a special guest. I've got Lynn joining me, who is the founder of the Australian Virtual Business Network. Lynn has had so many years' experience in corporatising and small business and busy types of people that I just wanted her to share with you all her tips and even her actual associations and the help and support that she has. She runs the Virtual Business Show. She's also in charge of executive stress office support and right now is going to join me in dispelling some of the myths around getting a virtual assistant or anything in particular that lets you get on with doing what you do best, which is running your business and growing it so you can have the lifestyle you deserve. So, Lynn, thanks for joining the Virtual Business Advisory Program.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
My pleasure. Now, Lynn, let's maybe start out. Some of the people listening to this may have already visited your website or one of the many websites. Maybe we go back to the beginning and you just tell us a little bit about how you got started and why you're so passionate about giving support to the virtual community.
Okay, well, as for when I got started, I started my practice in February 2000, so I've been in practice for a little while, and started that primarily because of the lack of, I guess, flexible work options for working mums at the time. I was having my first child and the place where I was working was a little inflexible in allowing me back part-time to work. So I had to then go and find alternative employment, juggle that with childcare and all that kind of thing. It just didn't work. It just didn't work for us. I didn't enjoy doing it that way. And one of the options that I gave my then employer was for me to telecommute. And, of course, back then that was very, very new. You know, no one really knew what I was talking about. It was all sort of, you know, Star Wars type stuff. And anyway, so I thought, well, you know, there's really no reason why I can't be doing something like this with the technology that was emerging at the time. And so I then spent a couple of days a week working for a firm of lawyers and the remaining days investigating what I could do and who I could work with and reading up all the information I possibly could on running a business and that kind of stuff, and got started and sort of haven't looked back since then. I was full-time within about 18 months of starting my practice. And was able to give up that part-time work and be home full-time working for myself and raising my family.
Oh, tremendous. I love that story. Now, you clearly practice what you preach. I mean, in preparation for you and I talking, I had to visit a million different websites, all of the wonderful stuff that you're doing, your virtual business show, exec stress office support. You've also got the business network, the virtual business network. You're practicing what you preach, aren't you? I mean, you must be to be doing all this and managing it well and still being the head of the family.
Oh, look, I have to say, just on that last comment, the head of the family, I could not do it without the support of my husband. I think that's one of the very, very key things in terms of driving sort of success of anybody who's working from home, is that you just absolutely have to have 100% support and commitment from your other half. And I certainly couldn't have done it without his support, because he certainly had to step up and take over different areas that, you know, traditionally I would have looked after. So that's something that's absolutely critical. But yes, it is something that I'm passionate about. I guess it was like a bit of an entrepreneurial gene that I inherited from my parents, because they ran their own business. And
yes,
you know, and it's just the only way to go, I think, if you can at all do it.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a trend towards it now. I think if there's ever been a dawn or an age where it was accepted, like you said, for partners, you know, life partners to really come together and manage work-life balance. I mean, we've got Tim Ferriss writing books, 4-Hour Work Week, The Outsourcing Your Life Phenomenon. I think it's something that's really important that people really investigate, but also what I'm really looking forward to you sharing with us now and over the course of the next, you know, 10 or 15 minutes is there's a lot of misconceptions out there or mistakes people make or even some, I guess, non-truths that people have in their mind about getting virtual help, isn't there?
Yeah, I think you actually mentioned Tim Ferriss, which is interesting because I have to say that I think some of the misconceptions have actually arisen from that book.
Yep.
Now, that came out, when was that, 2006?
Six, yep, definitely.
Yeah. And that was actually the first time anyone had referenced in a book like that the term virtual assistant, though the term itself had been around, since about 99 or something.
Yes.
And it was first actually coined by a coach who was referring to his remote secretary. But one of the misconceptions is that Tim refers to the $5 an hour virtual assistant. And that, unfortunately, has been continued to be promoted by bloggers and coaches and others who I think really aren't necessarily talking about professional VAs but are really talking about like offshore freelancers. Mm-hmm. And those services really have their place.
Yes.
You know, they definitely have their place, particularly for people who are interested in, you know, really saving bottom line and, you know, saving that bit of money. But I would argue that they're not virtual assistants according to an industry accepted definition of a virtual assistant. Now, that definition has been refined over the years to mean a highly skilled, independent professional entrepreneur who provides remote, admin, technical, and or creative business support services to clients locally, nationally, or globally. So that's our sort of main industry definition.
Yeah, and let's be clear. I mean, listeners that are listening to this, you know, most of them are they might be new to business or they're at least startup companies in the first few years of their operation. You know, the purpose of any assistant, whether it's like you said, it's on one side of the fence, it could be very low cost or, you know, offshore, what have you. But really, what you're doing is entrusting and empowering somebody else who's better at doing something than you are and letting them do it. And you're letting technology, which is so great, allow you not to have to have someone who lives within 10 kilometres of your office to do it. They could live anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I always say to clients, you know, think of a virtual assistant as a PA, like a traditional PA or EA. And anything that you would give to that person who's sitting outside your office, you really can give to a virtual assistant. Now, one of the issues that we have with technology, obviously, is that more managers and more business owners are becoming very time poor. This technology is supposed to improve our lives, but, you know, now with smartphones and tablets and everything else, you're walking around with your office in your pocket. And you really can't get away from that. So we're finding that a lot of executives and business owners are starting to get more bogged down in the administrative type duties that a secretary would normally have taken off them. Mm. And to a certain degree, they almost feel obliged to be doing those things because they've now got access to the technology to do it.
Yep.
So I keep saying to clients, you know, look, just because you can, or just because you have the technology doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, I like that.
Because anything that you're actually doing yourself that you would ordinarily, under normal circumstances, have given to a secretary is taking you away from the things that you're good at. So the business building exercises, the marketing of your business, those kinds of things, which really the business owner should be focused on rather than that admin.
Mm. So would you say that's probably step one? Anyone listening to this who suspects that they're wearing all the hats just because they could doesn't mean they should.
They should
draw a line in the sand and really think, well, okay, these are all important tasks. There's no doubt about that. But where are my core strengths? What should I be really focusing on to grow the business or take it to where my vision sees it being? And then really drilling down and thinking, well, is this an administrative part of the business that someone who's an expert in that could be taking care of me? Would that be step one?
Yep, absolutely. And of course, then your next thing is to think, well, what you're actually looking for is a partner who can help you. And that's what a professional virtual assistant becomes. They become a partner in your business. And I don't mean that in the legal sense.
No, but I agree. Yeah, they're so working probably closer with you than anyone, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And really, it's about most of my core work is with like non-exec directors or executive directors or chief executives. And, you know, they they quite easily get their heads around the whole concept of a personal assistant. The only thing they have to get their head around is using the technology to communicate with me. So rather than yelling out the door, they, you know, have to use the tech to actually, you know, get in touch with me and get the work done. And I think the other thing too is then your step two would be to kind of look at, you know, what sorts of things can you let go of? This is another issue that a lot of business owners and managers and execs have is this issue of control. You know, they've got to be in control of their business. Their business is their baby. It's their thing. It's, you know, it's theirs. They don't want to let anything go. But, you know, you really can't do it all yourself. And being able to give those sorts of, you know, admin type tasks off to somebody else who you can trust, who understands your business and where you're trying to take it, then frees you up.
Yes. And do you, let's maybe delve into that. Is there some common, like I think there could be some people listening to this that are just thinking, yeah, Lynn, I'm with you. I want to do sales and marketing. And you know, they can draw a clear line between that and some of the administrative stuff. But I think there's also some people that they think, oh, but the lines are blurred and if I just do it myself, it gets done properly. And so do you see some common trends, I guess, with, you know what, here's a list of things that you really need to question whether you need to be involved with this or not. Is there a group of activities that come to mind?
Look, probably not, because I think each individual client or business has their own, you know, little idiosyncrasies and things they like doing and don't like doing. And like, for example, I had one client who, you know, he used to do like sort of reports and things for court, and he loved doing that and getting into it, and you know, he was your little two finger, you know, chook peck typist, and he quite enjoyed, for some reason, sitting up until 2 o'clock in the morning typing these reports.
Yep.
But he didn't like doing his invoicing or following up non-payment of his invoices.
Yes.
So I'll always say to clients, think of the things that, you know, you maybe don't like to do, and you can pass those off to a virtual assistant. Eventually, in the end, he decided, when he was up until 2 or 3 o'clock trying to get a document formatted, he eventually decided that that maybe he would give me a go. And when he got it back formatted and all he had to do was kind of read it, he went, yeah, you know what, I think I'm going to give this to you. I don't want to sit up till 2 o'clock anymore.
The penny dropped. So
yeah, exactly.
I really like that. So what I take from that is there's no hard and fast rule, but you know what, step one, do what we said about the exercise, about what do you need to do, what don't you need to do, but then take that a step further. If there's some stuff you don't like doing, even if you think you have to, look at how you could outsource that activity or those group of activities and give it to someone who's capable.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, it doesn't even have to be like an ongoing partnership. Some clients are a bit, you know, oh, I don't have enough work to keep you busy for, you know, every day of the month. It doesn't have to be like that. And now, of course, with these cheaper offshore freelancers as well, you know, you might only have like a one-off job that you need done. You want it done quickly. You want it done cheaply. Well, there's an option for you. If you're looking more for that ongoing kind of partnership with somebody who gets to know and understand the way you work and your business and, you know, can really start to help and, you know, make advice on, give advice on, you know, where things could go, well, then you look more for a, you know, professional virtual assistant, whether they're here or, you know, overseas.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I get what you mean. Now, I think something that came to mind just then is that often, I guess, busy business owners or, you know, solo artists or self-employed people, a lot of the tasks might be around communication on the phone, answering phone calls, scheduling meetings. It's probably a good idea to have someone who is very professional and sets a very good impression for whoever's ringing in when they call up, right? Instead of perhaps something that's a little less professional.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, I've had clients that actually do that, who will be working, say, from home themselves and wanted to give that impression that they, you know, had that very professional kind of office environment, so they would use me to, you know, say, organise their meetings or do follow-up calls for them and that kind of thing. And I would be introducing myself as their assistant. Another who gets me to, you know, organise meetings with various people who I send the email and liaise with them and organise, do all the groundwork kind of thing for him, so that he's not being inundated with, you know, constant requests and emails and that kind of thing.
Yeah, great. That's a good point. So that actually probably leads us to step three. Let's say we've made the two lists. One is the important and the things that we know we should probably give away. And then we've also got a secondary list, stuff I just don't like to do. I guess it's now time to think, okay, I've realised the need. I need to fulfil that. I need to find myself a virtual or executive assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And you just alluded to some stuff there about communication. I mean, the first contact you have with a potential VA is obviously going to probably be either email or phone. That's probably a good chance to evaluate how professional is this person right there.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, the difficulty I think that most clients have is that, you know, these days with the internet, anyone can say anything online, and just because it's written on a website doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Well, I could have outsourced that to a copywriter.
Well, that's exactly right. And look, I can give you an example of somebody who was a freelance operator in the Philippines who actually pinched some of my content and put it on a website for an outsourcing company and passed it off as their own. And, you know, when I questioned it and asked for it to be taken down, he basically just, you know, thumbed his nose at me and went, well, what are you going to do about it? Mm. Now, these types of people or these types of businesses that are out there with this bit of questionable ethics and all the rest of it, you know, you're not going to know. You read that on his site and you think that it's his when in actual fact he's pinched it from somebody else.
Yep.
What then is the likelihood of your intellectual property being safe? So there are those kinds of, you know, trust and ethics issues and all the rest of it. And the internet has made it very difficult, I guess, for people to, you know, be able to do that kind of due diligence.
Yeah, in one way it's made it more accessible, but on the other hand, it's made it very easy for people to, I guess, copy, like you say, pinch,
yeah,
and create a false impression.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So how do you think people should go about finding the right VA?
Well, this was another reason why I started the network. One of the things I always actually say is, you know, do your research, have a look at the site, sure, see how it looks, how it feels for you. There should at least be testimonials on there, but not just testimonials, but ones that you can actually follow up.
Yes.
So there should be a link to the person who gave the testimonial, either an email or their website or a contact phone number, so you can actually ring and make sure that, you know, they actually gave that testimonial.
Yeah, this isn't just a fictitious character.
yeah, that's exactly right. Certification is another thing. The VA industry is not regulated, and it's something that we're trying to actually avoid. We don't want it too heavily regulated. We're kind of self-regulated at the moment, and there are industry certifications that are available. Now, you know, some people are in two minds about certification, but to me it shows that the business owner, the virtual assistant, has, you know, taken themselves a bit seriously. Mm-hmm. They, you know, are looking at, you know, showing themselves to be, you know, a professional business owner that, you know, values what they do, and they're going to go out and take the time to go and do one of these certifications. Now, some of those as well, by their very nature, give clients an opportunity to check by going to the certifying body,
right,
to just double check what the VA says is accurate. Now, when I said this was one of the reasons why I started the Australian Virtual Business Network, I started that in 2006 at a time when there were already two networks in Australia that were quite large, but they were for overseas businesses as well as very new virtual assistants.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted a network where, number one, only Australian businesses were listed, and then I went a further step with the network actually guaranteeing to clients the quality of the members through reference checking, skills testing, and pre-qualification before they were even allowed to join. So as it stood, if a client went to one of the existing networks with a job lead, for example, it would often go to everyone who was a member or to the first four people who replied to the network owner, not necessarily the best or most suitable candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Australian Virtual Business Network, clients automatically know that the members have already met certain minimum requirements of being in business, that what they actually have asserted on their website is true, and they've all been checked and tested and verified.
So essentially it's taking a lot of the, not all of it, but a lot of the risk out of the screening of a potential candidate.
Yeah, it takes that kind of due diligence out. It's already been done.
And who's got the time, right? We're busy in business. The reason we need a virtual assistant is we don't have enough time. Do we really have time to be checking who's ethical and who's not? We just want great people and to choose the best from those.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, of course, the thing is, too, that, you know, one virtual assistant may not gel with you, the same as one PA that you might employ doesn't gel with you. That doesn't mean that none of them will.
That's right.
You know, so it's also about trying to see, you know, is it a good fit? You don't always have to meet face-to-face. 99% of my clients I've never met. Mm. Most of them I communicate with via email. Occasionally we'll sort of hook up on the telephone or on Skype or in a web conference room or whatever.
Yes.
But very rarely do I meet them face-to-face. But I think many VAs will give a feel for who they are through their website.
Yep.
And that's the very first place I think where clients should start is look there, see, does it look like it's a template? Does it look like, you know, they've tried? Can you see sort of some kind of personality of the VA coming out? And then you just make that initial contact. Most virtual assistants will prefer contact by email in the first instant because we're always sitting at our computers, so we're always going to get email. Phone can sometimes be difficult because many virtual assistants are mums working from home and they may or may not be able to get to the phone. So an email is always a good idea, and then they should follow you up within 24 hours. You should get a response from them.
Yeah, because, I mean, we want to see someone who's proactive, who can manage their own day, who can manage their diary, who can communicate well, who,
exactly,
if they sense that we need a phone call, it'll be scheduled in. But there's just that proactive communication, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And the other thing, I think, one of the difficulties that many clients have is they have this real, still this employer-employee mindset.
And okay, tell me about, I'm really interested to know about this. Tell me all about this.
Yeah, it's very, very important for clients to realise that what they're dealing with when they're dealing with a professional virtual assistant is a contractor. They're an independent contractor, and that's part of our definition that I gave you right at the beginning, an independent professional entrepreneur. So they are independent of you.
Yep.
Now, that means that you are contracting them to do a particular project or to work with you permanently or until the contract is terminated long term, however you set it up. But it also means that you're not responsible for the typical staffing on costs, so things like superannuation and workers' comp and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many clients still have in their mind that, okay, if I've got an assistant, well, then they're working for me. The thing to remember is that a virtual assistant is not working for you, they're working with you. And they're very much in that partnership mindset. They're there to help you, they have a vested interest in your business being successful. But they are also a business owner. So that means that they will do things like set their own rates. They will set the times that they work for you. Working in with you, of course, with regard to any sort of commercial considerations that you have, but they will work with you, but the client will not be the one actually dictating the terms, if you know what I mean.
No. Yeah, essentially they're not at your beck and call. Neither should a PA or an actual physical assistant either.
Yes, the difference being, though, that you have that expectation when you're paying them.
Yeah, of course. They're sitting at the desk that you pay them to be at. I think
that's exactly right.
I think that's good advice. And I also think, though, that a lot of that, if you get a great virtual assistant and you yourself, who's looking for one, communicate very clearly in the beginning those boundaries or those, I guess, rules of engagement, the terms, or it's all very clear and it would run very smoothly.
Oh, and honestly, Simon, that is the key thing, is to get that set up right at the very beginning so there are no surprises. And the thing to remember is that, you know, the VA is there to support you, to help you. They're not the enemy. They're not, you know, there isn't this us and them thing with relationship with a VA. It really is somebody who you can partner with. And all my clients have been with me almost from the very beginning. All my clients are long-term clients. You know, they treat me like they would treat a PA in terms of, you know, the confidentiality and things that they share and all the rest of it. You know, so it becomes a real relationship, you know. And, you know, I think that's something that's kind of special about working like this, because, you know, you can then foster that relationship. You get to know about their business, their likes, their dislikes, their family, you know, different quirks and things that, you know, happen with them. And it's great. It's an excellent way to work.
Awesome. Very good. And so do you have any, I guess, set things that you think are a good idea for people to write? Like you said there, you want to avoid surprises. Is there anything you see often comes up that maybe on our side of the fence or on the business owner's side of the fence, they could have pre-written down so they can at least communicate with the virtual assistant about what are they looking for, the expectations they want around certain things like answering their phone or replying to their emails, those sorts of things?
Yeah, I think it's important that when you sit down and think of the things that you kind of want to let go of, a virtual assistant will be able to tell you whether those kinds of things can be handled remotely. That's the first thing.
Yep.
Because not everything can be. And there are going to be some things that the business owner really should look after themselves, you know, because they understand their business best.
Yep.
But a virtual assistant will be able to help guide you to be able to tell you what can and can't be done remotely. And most things can be. There isn't anything I've come up across yet that can't be handled remotely. I'm just sitting here trying to think of something, but I can't really think of anything.
But there's always the chance that a little detail of a process may still need to be handled by yourself.
Exactly. Sense. The thing is, I think absolutely key is ongoing communication. You can't just be kind of going off thinking that it's being handled and, you know, it may not be. You know, the VA really, and a professional VA will get in touch with you, will be in constant contact with you, will be letting you know how things are going. I tend to, particularly with my exec director clients, I will generally meet with them, say on Skype, once a week.
Yes.
To go through, you know, what their diary's like, things that might be coming up. We'll go through their inbox. A couple of them will, say, dictate email responses to me, and I can access their inbox and just reply to the emails for them so they don't have to worry about it. You know, it's getting together and actually meeting and having that open line of communication. They will ring me, they'll Skype me. So it's being able to, you know, have that level of communication with the VA going all of the time. But it's very, very important to know that it's not about micromanaging them. Mm. A professional virtual assistant, you won't need to micromanage. And this is something that you'll see if you do a, you know, search for virtual assistants and you see bloggers and that writing about them. They will always be talking about the need to micromanage your support. And I even saw one blogger suggestion that was, if you've got someone looking after, say, your website updates for you, to change the password every second day so that your assistant has to contact you for the new password, and that's how you know they're actually doing the work. I was just mortified when I read that, because I just...
interesting management style.
well, the thing is, where's your trust gone? I mean, the whole point is you're supposed to be working on a partnership based on trust.
I think that's I think this is what I love about your message. Is what you're saying is, why don't you spend a little bit extra time up front finding someone that you can actually trust with, so that in the long term, you get all the benefits reaped, because you can completely trust them with everything. And In fact, from my own experience, having personal assistants in the physical sense, some good, some not so great, the ones that were really great, they got to learn my habits and the way I ran things. They were more proactive than me.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to know me as an individual, and they made reminders to me. They were almost micromanaging me, which in a sense made me more productive, not the other way around.
And the thing is that primarily is what an assistant does. They're the ones that kind of, you know, push you around and push you in the direction you've got to go, and you may not want to do something, so they're giving you that, you know, prickly push, sort of, come on.
Yeah.
Look, a virtual assistant does the same thing.
That's great. That's
fantastic. It's the easiest way to think of it is just, you know, it's the same as having a PA or an EA. They're just not in the office with you.
Yeah, which is great, because then you don't have to worry about cleaning your desk.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you don't have video, because you don't want to see my desk right now. But I know where everything everything is. I promise.
Albert Einstein is very famous. He said, "Don't waste brain space remembering or trying to think and clean up when you know where everything is." So.
Yeah, that's right. My daughter came in the other day and went, "Oh, Mum," and I'm like, "Don't touch anything."
Yeah.
Don't touch anything.
That's it. Computers do the same. They randomly scatter things on the hard drive, and that's the most productive way of accessing information. So you know what? That's all good.
Exactly.
Lynn, now to finish up, Lynn, a lot of people are going to be listening to this. They've been given our, I guess we've just created it. We didn't have this intention, but we've created a three-step process for getting on board with a VA and making it work truly for you in the long run. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are listening to that going, that's all great. We've sort of referenced the website. Maybe you could talk us through or talk all the members through what's the first place to start, where can they go online to find some great people? How can they perhaps get involved with some of the organisations that you represent and that you're in charge of, and how can that help them?
Okay, well, there's well, obviously my network is the Australian Virtual Business Network, which is avbn.com.au. There are another couple of really good Australian networks. VADirectory.com is one. And virtuallyyours.com.au are another two. Most Australian VAs are members of multiple networks, so you'll find there's a bit of cross-pollination and that sort of stuff going on. So, you don't necessarily have to put a request for a job or for a VA or whatever out to all three networks at once.
Sure.
Because if somebody can't do the job, they basically go back and access the network and find somebody for you. So that's the other advantage.
Oh, okay. So I'm assuming these network sites, I've seen yours, haven't seen the others. They've got directories of geographically based,
yes,
state-based VAs. But once again, it's not important, really, if they're going to be virtual.
That's right. It's not important. Now, I mean, my network, I've got the directory actually divided up into both a specialty directory and an industry directory. So if somebody works in a particular industry and they're looking for a VA who's got experience in that industry, then they go to the industry directory and just look up
Fantastic.
Their industry.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've got the specialty directory there that's divided up. If they're looking for someone who does transcription or someone who does web design or whatever, they can then look for that particular specialty.
Oh, good on you. That's great.
So that makes it a little bit easier in terms of actually finding someone. But otherwise, the other thing I guess to remember is that members of these networks, you've got to think of these networks as a bit like, say, a chamber of commerce.
Yep.
So the VAs who belong to them are not employed by the network, they're not subcontracted by the network. The network is not an agency.
Yes, yep.
So if you are looking for a virtual assistant and you are asked to, say, you're invoiced by the network,
yes,
then you're dealing with an agency,
yes,
not with an independent virtual assistant.
Yep.
All of the members of these networks I've mentioned are independent business owners. They will contract with you directly. They will invoice you directly. You will deal with the virtual assistant.
And again, you've just made the job easier by doing, I guess, that first level due diligence, making sure that they're reputable, that they exist, that they are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting them all in one place, and then it's up to us to go through our own recruitment process, just like we would with a normal employee,
mm-hmm,
to find a good fit, personality and skill base.
That is exactly it. Awesome. That's exactly it.
Couldn't be
in
much,
a nutshell.
Couldn't be much simpler than that, could it?
No, that's right. Well, it doesn't have to be hard.
And tell me, executive stress office support, what's that?
Well, that's my private practice, and it provides remote secretarial and administrative services, primarily to executive directors, non-exec directors, chief execs, authors, speakers, coaches, those kinds of people.
And those type of people that might be listening to this, because we do have a few members that are in that space, what are the sorts of things that could be happening in their world or in their life or in their mind right now, which you would say, if you're thinking or doing this, it's probably a good opportunity to send us an email?
Well, again, that's going to come down to each individual, because everybody's different and has their own different things. But some of the work that I do for those types of people are, as I mentioned before, meeting organisation, travel, planning, looking after their calendars, their emails, report writing. I don't do the writing. They do the writing. I do the typing. Make that very clear. I don't do the writing. Putting together board papers, collating all that, sending information out. I do remote minuting of board meetings. and sending out the agendas and the minutes afterwards and that kind of thing. Authors, I look after things like for self-published authors, so I'll look after their manuscript preparation, finding and coordinating the team of people like book designers and interior designers, getting them all together and working together. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's
a lot that the practice actually looks after, really.
And I think what's great is that everyone who's now listened to this for the last half hour has clearly got an idea now that there's another side of the fence, that virtual assistants, whilst $3 an hour for a foreign country to do some tasks is absolutely great. It's, you know, the tool that's needed or it's a perfect fit. There is this other side of the fence, which is we need someone highly qualified, highly connected, highly proficient and professional to manage what I would call quite high-level key tasks or responsibilities.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's a great way to differentiate them.
Awesome. Now, Lynn, how do people get in contact with you if they need to?
Well, if they want to go to the network, it's avbn.com.au. My own practice site is execstress.com, and it's just .com, not .com.au.
Yep.
And all my contact details are actually on both of those sites, so they can either email or give me a call. My mobile numbers are on there, so that's fine. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody's got, down the track. That's fine. There's no sort of commitment or expectation that that they contract with me necessarily, but, you know, any questions I'm happy to answer. And, of course, the podcast that I've got, the virtual business show, which is at virtualbizshow.com.au. That's actually linked from my ExecStress website, but it sort of covers a lot of these kinds of things, working with VAs, working virtually, and different types of small business issues. So
Great. There's
lots of places you'll find me. You can also just Google me and I'm sure I'll come up everywhere.
That's always a good sign, isn't it? Now, what I might do, members, virtual business advisory members, that is, if you're not a member, you'll have to take the dollar test drive and donate the dollar to my little boy Luca's charity to get a new ambulance to get access to this. But everyone else who is a member, the links and websites and podcasts referenced just then that Lynn was talking about, I'll make sure they appear on our website, members only, and you can click the link and it'll take you straight to the window where you can get access to Lynn and to these other great resources. Lynn, thank you very much for spending your time with me. I know that you're busy. You've got clients, a family, other businesses, other boards, so many things. I've learned a lot myself about what a VA really can be and what it sometimes isn't. And I think that's going to help our members. So thank you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. It's great. Thanks so much for asking me.
Our pleasure. All right, members, until next time, enjoy, get on the site, do the work, and remember, nothing happens unless you do something. So go for it. Take care.